Because, you see, the Bible says those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. And God responds to a hungry heart. And the fact that you're here tonight means you're hungry for more of God. You didn't stay home and watch the football. I don't know if there's football on tonight. But you chose, I'm going to come to the house of God tonight because I'm hungry for everything you have for me, Lord. So I want us to stand up and come on, let's worship the Lord. Let's enter into His presence. Let's receive everything God has for us tonight. I believe the Lord's going to touch every single person here tonight. I believe God is going to do a work in you tonight. I believe miracles are going to be released in your life tonight in the name of Jesus. Do you believe that? Lord, we come before you. Lord, we come before you with grateful hearts, with thankful hearts. We are grateful for all that you've done in our life. We are thankful for Jesus. And Lord, tonight we come to worship you. We come to praise you. We come to enter into your presence. Holy Spirit, we invite you. We ask you, have your way here tonight. Move as you will tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your angels that fill this building. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your anointing, Lord, that lifts every burden, that destroys every yoke. In Jesus' name, we give you all the praise for everything said and for everything done. Everybody said amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Come on, church, we sing that together. Oh, we pray, Lord, we sing. Yeah. Thank you.
like you. You alone are the faithful one. We thank you, Lord, that you are from everlasting to everlasting. And we worship you tonight. We honor you tonight. We love you, Lord, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all that is within us, Lord. We love and we worship you. And we thank you for your presence here with us tonight. And we thank you, Lord, for moving by your Spirit in this place and in our life. We surrender to you. Lift your hands and say, Lord, I surrender to you. Have your way in me. Your will be done, not my will be done. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Praise God. I just got one question. And that is, why do you not sing like that on Sunday mornings?
We do.
Man, you were singing tonight. We should switch. From now on, we're going to have Sunday night service. Greet somebody. Smile at them, tell them you're glad to see them. Tonight's the first time you're hearing Kevin's today. Wave your hand at me. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're here tonight. We had the service especially for you. You know, a number of people said to me this morning that they heard music. They heard an orchestra. Yeah, Jill heard it. Pastor Jill. Dolores heard it. Mary Bell heard it, and Mary Bell said it was coming from my, she thought it was my phone, because my phone was on the seat, but it wasn't my phone. It wasn't coming from my phone. So what did you hear? And Kevin heard it too, right? He thought it's just me. You know what you heard? You heard the sounds of heaven.
Amen.
You heard the heavenly choir. Because we didn't have any music playing. Did we have any music playing?
No.
There wasn't any music coming out the speakers, right? It was your music. The Lord was giving you the fourth album. Then you haven't made it. But that's what you heard. You heard that music playing of your album. Yeah, it's funny because sometimes when the presence of the Lord comes in, I smell a fragrance. I met Kevin in his hotel room this morning and Kathy and to bring him down to the ballroom, and the lady was got in the elevator with us, and I said, "What is that smell?" And she said, "It must be my perfume." But then she went away and we carried on walking, and I still smelled it. You know, when you get into the spiritual realm, you start to hear things and smell things and see things, and it's real. Yes. Amen? Yes. So are you ready tonight?
Yes.
We're glad you came back, and we thank Kevin for agreeing to have another service here tonight.
Yes.
Praise God. Yes. We want to welcome you. If by chance, if we have any first-time visitors, we always like to especially give a special honor and welcome if you're a first-time visitor. So if this is the first time you've been to Christian Family Church, would you just wave that we can welcome you tonight? Wonderful. That's good. That's great. And we have our on the ball ushers there. They're going to give you a packet that There's a few things. I think there's a CD in there. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. There's also a white card, and we ask, please, will you fill out the card? And in a few minutes, the offering bag will come by, and you can just put that card in the offering. I'd love to contact you. I'd love to find out if you enjoyed the service today. So thank you for doing that. Praise God. We're gonna get to the Lord tonight, and you know, to have the service here tonight, of course, there's an additional cost. Ain't nothing for free at the Wyndham Grand. But we're not receiving an offering because we have a cost. We're receiving an offering because it's biblical to give.
Amen.
And I'm going to ask in a moment, Kevin, if you don't mind, I want to ask you to come and share a few minutes just about what the Lord's done in your life through giving and tithing. You started tithing when you were 10 years old, before you were even born again, before you even knew Jesus, really. You started tithing. And the Lord has blessed you. You know, Kevin shared this morning, he was a flight attendant with Southwest for 29 years, just retired. But, I mean, I want him to tell it, but it's amazing how God blessed you as a flight attendant. Now, he's a qualified commercial pilot. In fact, he was offered a job flying for Southwest, flying commercial airplanes. But the Lord said to him, no, I want you to be a flight attendant. You know, God can bless you way above your job. Amen. Your job is not your source of supply. God is your source of supply. Amen? And so I want him to just come and just share a little bit as we prepare to give. This is something that is a real revelation in your life. And now the Lord has opened doors for you where you've become really close with Jesse and Kathy Duplantis. And Jesse Duplantis is a man who's blessed. Do you know Jesse the Planner's gave? Can I tell them what he gave his church? Not allowed? Well, I won't say the amount. But let me just, I won't say the amount. I'll just tell you this, that Jesse the Planner has given hundreds of millions of dollars to the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Where did he get that from? He made investments. Investments. He doesn't take a dime from the ministry. The Lord's blessed him through the investments that he was guided to make. Amen? So come and share with us, if you don't mind, Kevin, as we get ready to give tonight. Just share a little bit about giving. Is that okay?
Thank you, Pastor. Listen, just so you know, when I got called to the ministry, the Lord told me that he wanted me to get a job and work first. You know why he said that? He said, because I never want you to depend upon offerings. And I don't want your message to be manipulated by your need. Did you hear what I just said? And so before I met Kathy, I was told to get this job. And then I would go into the ministry. Now, I thought it would be just a couple of years. So every day I said, is it time to retire? And I did that for 29 years. No, I'm telling you that because of one thing. You only want to go to the brook that you are sent to, because that's where your provision is going to come. You know, you just want to be where God is telling you to go, because that's where your provision is. So that prophet, if he wouldn't have gone to Zarephath, if he wouldn't have went there, you know, that the raven would have delivered it, but he wouldn't have got it. And then he would have blamed God, just like we do. Okay. Just so you know, that giving is something that the Lord considers sacred, because he considers, are you ready for this? He considers everything that's on the earth to be his. And so he told me, he said, even before tithing was instituted or giving, that God had already set an example of what he wanted man to do. So You think about this, Abraham, who was an Iraqi, he lived right there at the border of Kuwait, at the Ur of the Chaldees. So think about this, this guy lives in Iraq. He's like a Kuwaiti. The Lord tells him, I'm going to make you a nation. I'm going to take you to a land. And you're going to be the father of all the living. Okay, so one day after he is battling Sodom and Gomorrah kings and all that, you know, he's walking. And this guy named Melchizedek comes up. Now think about this. It says in Hebrews that Melchizedek has no birth date, no death date. No one knows who he is, but he's king of Salem. There's no record that he was born. There's no record that he died. Thank you. The power of God is so strong. It's like my sinuses are opening up. I'm serious. Think about this. This Abraham has not been told. Think about this. He's before Moses. So there's no law yet. But Moses gave the law on the mountain because God told him to, right? And one of those was tithing. Okay. But think about this. Abraham met Melchizedek and he knew. Think about this. He knew they were supposed to give a tenth of what he had just got from all those wars. That he was supposed to honor the Lord through this king called Melchizedek. So he gives him a tent, but yet Moses hasn't even lived yet to go up on the mountain and get the law. So what was in Abraham to do that? And this is what I found. Jesus showed me that he considers the earth his. Okay, so every belonging that everyone has is actually, like even the birds, they don't spin or toil, but God provides for them. Okay, so you know that. So, he does that for sinners. Did you hear what I said? He provides for sinners. It rains on the just and the unjust. Okay, so this is what I want you to think of giving as. See, if you give a portion to God, the whole thing becomes holy. But see, you just took that money from the world. You just took your check that didn't have Jesus Christ on it to you. Oh, you're not getting this. Every time you get a check from your job, you're taking it from the world. The devil considers it stealing because you're not going to give it back to the world. I hope not. Have you ever heard this teaching before? No. You see, tithing is saying, listen, I just stole from the devil and I'm giving you a portion, Lord, because I honor you with everything. And I just took back what the devil stole. Oh, you don't get it, do you? You see, the world system, they don't want you to have any money. Why do you think people make you feel uncomfortable at work? Why do you feel guilty when you give like you haven't given enough? It's all condemnation. If you gave one penny, you would get a reward for it. But see, if you give a tenth, according to the scripture, the windows of heaven are going to open. Now, that sounds like New Testament to me, even though it's in the Old Testament. I'm going to take that promise. He says, I'm going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. Jesse said, God one day, he was saying, Lord, you know, I rebuke the devourer. He goes, that's my job. He goes, what? The Lord said to Jesse, that's my job. Your job is to tithe. My job is to rebuke the devourer. Okay, so he showed me that, listen, this is not a system. When you give, what you're doing is you're taking what you just took from the world, you're setting it apart for God, the whole thing. It's just 10%. So this is what I started to do. There were years where the IRS was so upset with us because we gave half of our income, and they didn't think that was possible. And so they call me and they're like, well, what do you need? They go, well, we need your receipts because there's just no way you gave this much. I said, well, I didn't. I have the receipts. I said, what's the problem? What's really going on here? He goes, well, Mr. Zadai, he goes, nobody does this. That's what he said. He said, the computer automatically flags you. You can't give, he said, from now on you just give 19% of your income because it flags you at 20. I go, wait a minute, so you're telling me what I can and can't do for God? And of course, you know, now I'm a religious fanatic, but you know, you know the conversation. So I'm explaining to him that this is what we do. So we got so much favor with them, we just said, send a big one. There was like one check that we had written to a church for $23,000 as a flight attendant and as a hairdresser.
Wow.
He said, just send that one and you're fine. They've never bothered us since. Okay, so you got to get over this giving thing. And I know that some of you, no, that's not that you're not givers. It's not that. It's just that you shouldn't feel bad for how little you give or how much you give. You shouldn't ever feel like you should resolve the fact that you're doing this out of the fact that you want to give to God. But see, you're stealing from the world. Now, I've never heard that before in my life. But when the Lord told me that in Switzerland, I preached on it. And it was so good, I said, I want to buy this CD. Because I said, I've never heard this before, but so think about it. You're taking what's the world's and you're taking it into your own. And now you're going to do with it whatever the Lord tells you to do with it. It's set apart and holy. You see, but you can just take a portion, and it says in the scripture that even a portion makes the whole lump holy. Oh, yeah. Okay, so Think about some of the things that have happened to us, not as ministers, but as people just like you who work and go through things just like, you know, we all go through things. But I found out something, that there's nothing, like Brother Hagin would tell us in class, I mean, I was within 10 feet of him when he would teach sometimes. And he said, you know what? He said, you know how I learned to walk as a prophet and hear the word, the voice of the Lord? He said, the number one thing that people want is to hear God's voice.
Yeah.
The number one thing. He said, I can tell you how you can hear God's voice. He said, it all goes back to that $5 offering I gave when that's all I had in my pocket. And I thought, here we go. You know, it's one of those sermons, you know, give everything in your pocket. He said, no, he said, there's something about what God goes after to give you what you really want. He went after that $5 because that was his God. Brother Hagin was holding on to that $5 because that's all he had. When he gave it, did you know that when he passed away, he had over $1 million in his bank account, his own personal bank account? You know how he got that? He told us, he said, that because he had given that $5, the Lord said, because of this, he said, that's why that lady just got out of the wheelchair. He said, it wasn't the money. It was the fact that you heard my voice and you obeyed it. And then you could point to somebody in a wheelchair and tell them to get out of it. He said, that's what the $5 did. He didn't buy God. You're not buying God. You're learning to hear his voice. So what the Lord told him to do, he told us as students, he said the Lord told him to put some money in a bond fund, and it was like $1,500. He had just left it in there, and when he put $1,500 in there, and just told him to keep rolling it over. So 50 years later, when he died, there was $1 million. He forgot about it. Did you hear what I just said? Brother Hagin is not an investor. But see, that $5 did that. So that's why I feel like I should share about giving. You know, to keep it short and sweet and to the point, the Lord doesn't just want a portion, he wants it all. But he's not asking you to give it all. What he's asking you to do is recognize that every day you live, the devil considers you trespassing on his property. He doesn't even want you on the earth. Did you know that? He doesn't even want you here. I mean, just go out there and it won't take you long to feel like you don't fit in. Amen?
Yeah.
So did you just want them to, do you want me to share a little bit more? Are we ready to give? Or, oh man, I just feel a part of it. You know, okay, I'll tell you that the Lord just told me this. Now, this is for everybody. And this isn't me. Do you know how many hundreds of thousands of dollars I've made off of just this one thing that they don't even know about? My wife is the only one who knows about this. Hundreds of thousands of dollars, not as a minister, as a flight attendant. Do you know how many hundreds of thousands of dollars I've made because the Lord told me to forgive someone? Someone had stolen from me. So the one that he wanted me to tell you about was last year someone stole from me. As a minister. And when I found out, when I was on the phone, and this person's talking to me, and I said, well, they're telling me something. I go, they go, well, we don't know what happened. I go, I do. I said, I was in the room, and this is what this person said, and this is what this person said, and this is what you did. And I said, they stole from me. Did you hear what I just said? He goes, you're a prophet. That's exactly what happened. I said, no, I'm not a prophet. I said, but, you know, that's God's money. So I hung up. He said, well, what do you want me to do about it? I said, nothing. Just let it go. The Lord will bring it another way. So I hung it up the phone. This just happened not too long ago. I hung up the phone, and the Lord's voice, you know, the one that I couldn't hear and now I can hear because of our giving. How'd you like to give $50,000 to someone who doesn't even like you? That's what we had to do. So Jesse asked us, when he first met us, our interview with him was, have you passed your $50,000 test? And I go, what? And I'm thinking, how does he know about $50,000? He said, well, have you been given $50,000? Have you given $50,000 yet? And I'm thinking, did somebody tell him about what happened to us? He said, no, I don't know a thing. He said, everybody that walks with God, like what you're seeing happen to you has to pass a $50,000 test. I go, really? I said, it happened. He goes, really? I go, yeah. I go, we did it. He goes, see? The Lord had told me to give $50,000 to someone who didn't like me, and then the one that stole from me is what I'm going to tell you right now. Since I hung up, he goes, well, you forgive him? I said, yeah. He goes, okay. He says, you know this fund you have? He said, I want you to buy this stock. He told me what stock to buy. He said, do it right now. So I got on my laptop. This just happened a couple months ago. I put it in there. I transferred and I bought that stock. So I left it. So 30 days later, the Lord said, hey, check that stock. $42,000. He said, sell it. He said, I think that'll cover it. It was 17 times more than what the guy had stolen from me. Did you hear what I just said? So what I'm trying to tell you is that sometimes you just have to forgive too. And you have to let things go. And you have to stop trying to figure out what God's doing and just listen to what he's saying. See, you can't figure out his ways all the time. But you can hear his voice. But his voice, he's going to use you, Brother Hagin said. He's going to use money to speak to you. And with that obedience, you're going to walk in to miracles. And it's not about money. And just so you know, I tell everybody this, don't give to me. Me and Jesse are the only ones in the world that say this, but I don't need your money. If you believe in what we're doing, you can give to my ministry. It just stays in the ministry. We don't even take a salary. We have supernatural stuff coming in our mailbox. Four times, sometimes in a month, four times what I made at Southwest comes to my mailbox with my name on it. Okay. But see, that's me and God, and me and my wife. That's not the ministry. That's something else. So you give because God tells you to, and you support what God's doing here. Okay, so in heaven, everything you give is recorded, and you get a reward for it. You get a reward for it, but your reward is souls. See, the currency of heaven is people's souls. So in heaven, the most expensive thing in heaven is people. Because they cost more than anything else. So when you actually get to meet the people that, because you gave to ministries, you get to meet the people that you helped. In heaven, you're associated with, it's like a network of people that were associated with you because you gave. So I have like people in other countries that I have personally have something to do with their salvation. And so in this city, when you give to what you're doing here, you're actually supporting what God's doing here. Do you get that?
Yeah.
It's really not about like, and just so you know, Jesus told me personally, I mean, he's only like this far away from me. He said, Kevin, he said, when you give even a cup of water in my name, not even like, he said, I'm not talking about having faith. If you just give a cup of water and you say my name when you do it, you get a reward for that. It doesn't matter what the people do with what you do, with what you give them. You just give it, and it's recorded. You let God take care of the rest, okay? Enough said. So, when you give, remember this, you're participating in the supernatural. But you're participating in something that God has already voted for. And it doesn't matter what, the, you know, like, don't worry about, like, are they going to use this money right? You're giving it to God. Okay? Amen. Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay, you want to just have the ushers come, or you want to do it, or?
No, I want to ask you. I want to ask if you would.
I'm so drunk.
I want to ask if you would pray. If you would pray.
You pray for me.
Financial blessing and breakthrough.
Amen.
Will you do that? Hold your offering in your hand. I want the ushers to come and stand ready. Hold it in your hand. I'm going to ask Kevin to pray and trust God.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for this night. I thank you for these people, Lord, that just love you so dearly. And I thank you, Lord, that you want to bless them beyond their imagination, beyond anything they've ever asked or thought. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I just pronounce the blessing of heaven on them. I just thank you, angels of the Lord, as you gather this offering, and angels of the Lord, and take it to heaven. I thank you that each person will be written down in what they have done for the Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you will richly bless them. And I know that you're going to command the angels concerning them, Father. I know that all the finances that are being withheld, that their floodgates are opening right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for liberty. I thank you, Lord, for freedom right now in the name of Jesus. And I break that. I break every power that's withholding in Jesus' name. Blessings. Financial breakthroughs. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Oh my God, it's just so strong. Okay.
Let's just go ahead.
Amen. Damn, Lord. Can I talk while this is going?
Go right ahead.
I don't want to mess up the, you know. Here's the thing. Jesus is more like us than you know. Okay? He actually understands us. He understands the processes of how we, you know how like when something happens, we process it, right? We have our way of thinking about it. Okay, now where we go wrong is we don't express how we're processing things to others. And we don't process that with God. So I want to talk about some things tonight. I want to talk about the communication that goes on between your spirit and the spirit of God and heaven. And I want to show you some things. Because if you don't express what you're going through to God, there's something that is left undone. It's just like when you don't forgive. It wasn't even your fault. It wasn't your fault, but yet you're asked to forgive them. What forgiveness is it's for your benefit. It's for your benefit. So Jesus said, I have to unhook people from the world, and I have to unhook them from the people who put a curse. See, when people do things to you, they do it towards God. And if you don't believe me, I can go through scripture until 9 o'clock tonight to prove it. But what did Jesus, when he knocked Paul off of his horse, Saul, who became Paul, what did he say? He said, you're persecuting me. He goes, when have I persecuted you, Lord? He calls him Lord. And Jesus mentions the fact that, you know, you're killing my kids. You're killing them. You're persecuting my people. And when I met Jesus, I just felt like you should know that you should never leave anything unresolved inside of you. You see, you've gone through enough. I'm talking by the Spirit of God, of course. I'm doing surgery here. You've gone through enough already. But don't let any more stack up without getting it resolved tonight. Because the Lord's saying there's some things that have happened to you, that there's disappointments and there are discrepancies. In other words, like, it doesn't add up. And the first thing you always ask is, why did this happen? But you know, I've been in, it's so funny, when you're in the cockpit and one engine fails, the captain doesn't turn to the first sergeant and say, why does this happen to me? I'm a good guy. Why does this always happen? I can't believe this. No. He goes to his checklist. Because, see, it's just not about him. It's everyone that's behind him on the airplane. It's everyone that's under him where he's going to land, or maybe not land, but I don't even use his words, crash or anything. You know, even though I'm out of the industry, I don't say certain words. But no. You know, business is business. You just do what you got to do. Okay, so God gives you a building and someone takes it from you. Okay. But you still got to fly the airplane. You still, you know, like, you still woke up. Like, in your heart, that building's still yours. But you got to function. Okay. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Okay, so you got to function. Well, see, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Don't let this stuff stack up. Because you've been through enough. So these discrepancies and these disappointments, they're not from heaven. They don't exist. There's no. See, the Lord said, I only have appointments. So when you miss your appointment, it's called a disappointment, because there's a distance between appointments. It's called a disappointment. But it's foreign to heaven. You always make your appointments in heaven. So do you understand, you're not designed to have disappointments? Did you know that? There's nothing inside of you as a spiritual being that's born again that even understands what a disappointment is. It's foreign. When somebody lies to you, it's totally foreign. Why would somebody lie to me? Why would they speak the truth? When somebody speaks against you, it's totally foreign, because you wouldn't do that about to them. Okay, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Okay, so there's these discrepancies, but it has to do with the realms. See, so you're a spiritual being, and you live in a body, but you're a spiritual being. First. So you're just going to shed this body and you're going to go on to be with the Lord. And it's going to be like none of this ever happened down here. Because what you left down here was the record of all those disappointments, of all those discrepancies. You're just going to leave. I'm just telling you the truth. I mean, you're not going to see anybody in heaven and say, oh, I'm not talking to them because, you know, they stood up. You know, they're either not there or... You don't, it's gone. I mean, you have no way to access it. You know, you'll have that circle on your computer to search and search and search. And, you know, there won't be any connection because there is none. Okay, so why would you let it bother you another day? Okay, so when something happens, you gotta click into business is business. You don't try to explain it, you don't take it personally. You have to disconnect from it. Because, see, it's foreign. When you get a splinter inside of you, it's not long before the body says, you know what, this doesn't belong here.
Right.
So it starts to do things to alert you that there's an intruder. The body's just set up for that. If it's foreign, it wants to expel it. Okay, so think about your life and what you go through. There's discrepancies. There's not a flow sometimes. And you're like, wait a minute, this doesn't feel right. Well, no kidding, it's not the realm of the kingdom of God working. But you're still in this world. Okay, so Do you know how many times that story has told you? How many times, how many hundreds of thousands of dollars in the last year I've made by forgiving people? And I had a pastor that was mad at me because you're not going to do anything about that? I said, no. I said, don't come around another way. I wouldn't let him go. And when I talked to Jesse about it, Jesse said, oh, yeah. He said, I just let it go. He said, because God, he can bring it another way. It doesn't matter. See, that's Jesse's faith. That's a relationship with God that he developed by hearing the voice. He knows that God cannot fail. And what he says, when they did that to me, they did it to God. Okay, so it had to do with relationship and association. Okay, so you getting this?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to keep everything clear with him in between. You're not going to let anything pile up about these discrepancies. Because see, what's happening is you're wanting to know, what did I do wrong, God, that you let this happen? How many understand what I'm saying? You say that. Okay, but if that captain that I'm flying with, if he's always saying, why does this always happen to me? I'm like, shut up. Give me the checklist. You want me to read it? We gotta isolate this problem and shut this engine down. Because that engine, we can fly on one. But that engine, if we don't isolate that, shut that down, and extinguish the fire, it goes in and it starts to go through the airplane and through the fuel system and electrical system. And then we have a bigger problem. But see, we can stop it if we go to the checklist and isolate it. Figure out what's going on, okay? So even pilots know that. They don't take it personally because an engine shuts down or there's an emergency. They're trained to handle it. That's why you pay someone else to fly you, right? I don't touch electricity and I don't touch plumbing. I have people that they get excited. They get shocked and they're excited. They go, ooh. I always love when that happens. I'm like, you are insane. I have people that, I said, do you want me to turn the electricity off? I hired this guy to do electricity. I said, do you want me to turn the electricity off? Because it's still on. He goes, oh, no. He grabs the wires and he holds both of them, And I go, he goes, oh, yeah. He says, as long as I don't touch certain things, it'll just keep flowing through me. And I go, what? You remember that, Kathy? So he was like, doing it. And he goes, no. He goes, if you do it right, he says, it won't kill you. What's those guys think? Yeah. So I don't touch things that I don't know anything about. And I pay people, trust people just like you do, to do the things that you're not an expert at. But see, if you trust them, that means you stay out of it. Okay, so why can't you isolate the problem and then just not take it personally? See, you're attached to it. You're taking it personally. But did you know that you did nothing wrong to be sitting in this room right now instead of in a building? You did nothing wrong. You need to resolve that. God didn't do that to you. You're in a war. But the war's not over. There's a battle that's over. But I like it. Now, don't take me wrong, but I like it when the devil wins every now and then. But I really don't. Because he's so full of pride that he gets home and he looks at his trophy. Why he's looking at the trophy, I got a sniper rifle out. And I got a red sight. Mark, laser on the back of his head. He's looking at the trophy. And the Lord says, you got the shot? I go, I got a green light. He goes, take it. I say, sniper one's coming home. I'm serious. You got to get to the place where you're not afraid of the devil. He should be afraid of you. Oh, it's going to get really good. You know, might as well, I'll just join in. She got her package. See, all of you need to get your package. On the day of Pentecost, those people were waiting for the Holy Spirit. They're waiting. Okay, he comes. There's a rushing mighty wind. there's fire on everyone's head. There's utterance. They start speaking. That's three. The fourth one is there's joy because they said they're drunk and it's 3 o'clock. Four manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And we hardly see any of them. So she's just drinking. She's just drinking on the Spirit of God. So there's four manifestations. Rushing mighty wind, fire, utterance, and joy to the point where it's drunkenness. The people said, these people are acting like they are drunk. They've been drinking. So see, there's no distance right now. What happened in her spirit, there's no distance between what she's going through. There's no distance anymore between, there's nothing there. The Lord just took her right to his desk and said, you know what? Paid in full. Paid in full. The retribution of the Lord is the funny part. Because most people stop and say, Lord, you know, I want justice. You know, I want a judgment in my favor. But they don't say, wait a minute, I don't want the court to close you because I want retribution. I want 7 times. And I want the furniture of my enemy. Because it says 7 times the enemy has to pay back when they're caught. And the belongings of their house. I'm serious. So I'm serious. When I go home tomorrow, and the people drop us off at our house, Kathy doesn't even know this, but I see this all the time. The devil is cutting my grass. He's cutting my grass. So I go in the back porch. Now, I do this spiritually, but I do this every time. The back porch, there's this really nice furniture. It's his. And I sit on it, and I go, hey, you missed a spot. Because he gave me so much trouble, and me and my wife so much trouble over the years. And 3 years, it was 2 years ago, we looked at each other, and we had decided, you know what? We're just going to fast the whole month of January. Because we're getting hit as though we're one of the big boys. And we're not even in the ministry. I'm serious, we were getting hit like we're on TV everywhere. And Jesse DePlantis is doing our grass. You know what I mean? Like we're getting hit like we're big. Like we're really doing something for God. And like all we're doing is I'm going and flying flights and apologizing for the weather. And people are hollering at me because I gave them 3 ice cubes instead of 4 in their glass. And they're arguing with me. They're going to write in and complain about me. I go, you know, if I can control the weather, do you think I'd be sitting on this plane right now? I'd be on a throne somewhere. You know? Enough said. So we decided, you know what? If we're going to get hit and treated like we're somebody, we might as well just come at him as though we're somebody. And it changed our life. So the Lord told us, have you ever heard of a guy named Derek Prince?
Yes.
Well, we didn't even know him, really. We knew his name, you know. The Lord told us, get everything Derek Prince has and start listening to it. Saturate yourself, okay? So we did that, and we declared war on the devil. Because, you know what, we're going to get hit anyway. We were showing up with his battleships, you know, like, and we hadn't even declared war on them. How many understand what I'm trying to say right now? You feel like, dear Lord, you know, you got to be kidding me. You know, I get in my car, and I go to work, and I just want to be a good person. I come home, and it acts like I'm, you know, I just took the head off of Goliath. Now they're all, the Philistines are mad at me. You know what I mean? Okay. So we did that. We fasted and we prayed for that month. And the devil, you know, I told you somebody had left us over $1 million. But we never told anybody. Because then everybody's going to want it. You know? You see, it's not theirs. It's God's. So we were portioning it out as the Lord would tell us. And you know what's so funny is that the Lord said, you know, I want you to give $50,000 here. I want you to do this and this. And I said, Lord, that's a lot of money. He goes, what was it like when you didn't have this $1.4 million? I go, ooh. He goes, really? Really, you could have not had this happen. So what's $50,000? Did you hear what I just said? It's amazing how we change, isn't it?
Yeah.
So now I'm going to hold on to something. And I just got all this. Okay, so we don't tell our pastor. We don't tell anybody. We drive the same car that has dents in it. I keep going to work every week. She keeps cutting hair every week. And we're like giggling. We don't tell anybody. Okay, so one morning we walk into church late, and we walk in the back door, and there's this prophet Rutkins McKinley. He's at our church in Seattle. So we like trying to sneak in because we're late. He goes, "You, sir." He said, "The Lord favors you. Come here. Is that your wife?" I go, "Yeah." She goes, "Come here." He goes, "The Lord wants to say, thus saith the Lord, the next million that's coming." And he starts prophesying about the million and about the next million. Am I right? God's already talking about the next million. And the pastor's looking at me like, he's driving a Toyota. Did you hear what I just said? Yeah. See, God's already talking about the next million. Okay, so this is what would happen. It hadn't come yet. The next million hadn't come yet, 2 years ago. So as soon as we declared we're in the devil, every time I would go and pray, I mean, the boy that came back from heaven, I'd get on my knees and he would come to me. Satan would. He'd say, you know, you're not going to get that $2.4 million. I go, well, now it's $4.8. And I'm serious, for months. I mean, I'm not making this up. It's not superstitious. I mean, I would tell you this, that I don't like try to listen to hear if I can hear a demon or see a demon or, you know. But every time that I would pray and I would feel like, okay, I'm going to prayer, you know you're not going to get that $12.3 million. I go, well, it's 24 now. It just kept happening. It got up. I just picked a big figure, $119 million one day. I said, well, now it's $119 million. Just keep talking. And it was weird. There was this really weird silence that I'd never heard of, you know, in the months that were previous to that. There was silence. That was 2 years ago. He's never said another word. Because he realized, you know what? I'm pushing. He's going to get it. I'm pushing him. He's going to get it. I'm serious. He has never once said another word about money to me. The devil has never once again brought it up. Well, what happened? Now, you know what I'm talking about, because you've been in this war where they're like, you're not going to get that. You know, he accuses you. He's bothering you all the time. And so if you start saying, well, you know, you know you owe me seven times what you've stolen from me, and you need to bring that furniture that's in your house to me. So it is a point. What will happen with this church? It'll get to a point where the devil won't touch you anymore. Yeah. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is all scripture. The devil won't touch you because it just pushes you right into the glory. And then what happens is it's working against him. So Jesse said, you know, this happened to me. He said, when I would go to churches, he said, he thought, because he was Catholic, he thought that you had to be poor if you were a minister, so he gave away his millions that he made in the rock industry, the rock music industry. He gave it away. And then he went to work for Shell Oil, and he gave it away again. Then the Lord told him, it's time to quit your job. You're going into the ministry full time. His first year, this is the Jesse Duplantis you see on TV all the time. His first year, he made $1,800. His offerings were, like, for 1 week, a bottle of Dr. Pepper that he has sitting on a shelf in his office, still to this day, from 40 years ago. Somebody gave him a bottle of Dr. Pepper for preaching for him for a whole week. He would run out of gas, and this angel would come on the side of the road and fill his tank up. He said they wouldn't even give him food to eat. This is the Jesse the Planet that you've heard and seen. He said, what happened was, he said, I would go a week without food because any money I got, I sent home to my wife for my child and her. So I would go without food for a week. And he said, when I would walk into churches, or listen to this, he said, I would walk into churches, and as soon as I would step in there and I'd be walking with the pastor up to the pulpit, demons would start manifesting and people were coming out because he had fasted for a week. And it kept happening. And then he said the next night, there would be a mile and a half of traffic with a cop to get into that 60-member church because people started getting healed and delivered. And it was the devil stealing from him. So he said then the devil got wind that, wait a minute, this is counterproductive. So he said supernaturally food would be set at his door. Hot meals. eat. Because he was fasting and the devil was trying to starve him out of the ministry. Because he was saying, you know, you can make millions in the world. You know, this God thing's not working. See, this is the stuff you don't know about. But I'm telling you because you need to know that man started out just hearing the voice of God. But see, it gets to a place where what you're doing is so permanent that the devil says, you know what? I'm not going to win. You see, he goes around seeking who he may devour. If he can't devour you, he's going to go find someone that he may. But it doesn't have to be you. Okay, so if you want the kingdom of God in your life, there's a couple of things you've got to know. The day of Pentecost had those four manifestations, and that's the dispensation we're still in. I hope you know that. The Holy Spirit has not packed up and left.
Amen.
Okay, the same everything is still available to us right now. Right now. Okay, so you got those four things. Then you got this. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Okay, so you got those three things that the kingdom of God is. Okay, so the joy of the Lord is coming back. It's coming back because, you see, one thing I've learned is if I can stay in the Holy Ghost, I can tolerate people. Because I'm out of my mind. And so when I would go to work, I would be able to, because of all my background checks with the FBI, I could actually just be scanned because I'm registered and I'm going to have to go through security. So I would like go around security and I would just like wave at everybody. I didn't have to go. Because see, I'm already approved. But I would have to, at the end there, it was so hard for me because I'm living in two realms. And I said, well, I mean, people were getting saved. But man, I mean, one flight I was on right before I retired, I told the Lord, I came home and I told Kathy, I said, I can't last much longer. I said, we just had 15 people arrested because they started manifesting demons when I walked down the aisle past them. And they were all arrested because they couldn't control them. You know, so I spent the night praying in tongues and I come to work just to do my job. And it's like, it's not like I can just be a nice employee anymore. You see, I got two worlds now working. So that's what's happening with you. See, you're working in two worlds, but the spirit realm is gonna go head to head with this realm down here. I'm gonna go head to head with it. Okay, I'm just gonna be honest with you. Angels want confrontation. With devils. God wants to pick a fight. Did you know that? God wants to pick a fight. The Spirit of the Lord would come on Samson. And Samson, it says, when he was born and he was in the mother's womb, that God said that he had chosen to go to war with the Philistines. And so Samson was born. So every time the Spirit of the Lord would come on Samson, he would go pick a fight with the Philistines. Am I right?
Yeah.
So the power of God would come on him, and he would go not for the walls, not the secret passageways of a city. He would go for the gates, the strongest part of the city that's hard to replace. And he would take them off and carry them up on a hill. And then go home and have a hamburger. And then he'd wait until the fields were ripe and ready to be harvested. And he would capture two foxes, tie a torch, lit torch between the two, and send them into the fields and burn their fields. I mean, do I need to go on? And it says it only happened when the Spirit of the Lord came on him. So God wants to pick a fight with the enemy. So why are you taking it personally? See, you should be telling the devil, you got my money and I want it back. You got my joy and I want it back.
Yeah.
You know, you've robbed from me enough. Now it's my turn. It's my turn to take back what you've stolen.
Yeah.
And this is how I'm going to do it. I don't want your helpers bringing it. I want you to bring it. I want you to set it in my house. So I command everything that's been stolen to come back to me 7 times, and I want your furniture. You see, people don't talk to him like that because he's instilled fear in them.
Yeah.
And you know, I have people who whisper to me, you know, they get like right now, you know, I'd say 20, 30% of you are like, well, I wouldn't talk like that because the devil's going to come after you. He's coming after you anyway. If you're talking like that. Think about this, 29 years, 5 flights a day, 29,000 flights. Did 1,000 flights a year, sometimes more. Okay? Every flight, I had someone that was medicated because the plane's going to crash and they don't want to fly. They're sitting there crying and they don't want to fly because they think the plane's going to crash. Almost every flight, they're fearful. And so, you know, because I worked in the front, you know, I got these people. And so I would sit with them and I go, you know, do you think that I would be on this plane if it was going to go down? Do you think the captain came to work this morning? You know? And it seems to help a little bit, but think about this, 29 years, I never got on a plane that went down. And I flew 5 times a day. Is everybody hearing me?
Yeah.
Okay, so what was all the hoopla? What was the mirage that was being fabricated in people's mind? I got to the place where I told people that this plane's not going down. I said, I was sent back from heaven. I've already died. I started telling people, I've already died. I've done that already. I'm not afraid to die. I said, but this plane's not going down because Jesus sent me back. And I'm on this plane. And they end up getting saved because I witnessed to them. But I'm telling them, do you think that Jesus would send me back from the dead and then have me die on an airplane crash with you right now? And they're like, no. I said, okay, so what are the odds that I've gotten on a plane all these years and nothing happens on my plane, but you think it's going to happen on your plane, but now you're with me? I said, so what's going on here? So why was it that Jesus came to me on Friday afternoon before 9/11 on Tuesday morning at 9 a.m.? He came to me Friday and he said, you're not flying to New York on Tuesday morning, September 11th, because the worst incident in aviation history is about to happen. You're to get rid of that trip. I said, yes, sir. So I gave it away to someone else. And of course, our plane wasn't involved, but we would have been stuck for 4 days. I stayed at home and got paid, which is what God wanted me to do. Okay, so why did he speak to me and not to everyone else? So I asked somebody that works in the Pentagon that. This guy died in a car wreck, and an angel sent him back, and he works at the Pentagon. Angel sent him back, I quote, to prevent World War III. He said, you can't go. So I asked this guy, who was sent back from the dead, he was dead. He had been laying on the highway, covered. The ambulance people said every bone in his body was broken. And yet he got up and walked, and he said, hey guys, I need a ride. No bones broken. The angel took him over Russia and showed him the end time scenario and said, I'm sending you back because my people that are crying out to me in this country, they need God to help them. And you're going to be sent back to prevent the Magog invasion from happening yet. You're going to prevent, you're going to stop it from happening too soon. And so I asked this guy, what happened at 9/11? Why was I notified about 9/11 and it still happened? Wouldn't you want to know?
Yeah.
You know what he told me? He said, Kevin, God sent me back and I was working there. He said, we prevented, are you ready? 2,200 9/11s before that one happened.
Wow.
And I didn't even know that. He says, we caught 2,200 of those. Wow. This one we missed. Okay, so don't get upset with the discrepancies in your life if something slips through. You don't know what could have happened. So we're all healed now. We're all disconnecting from what happened. And we're going to now focus on what Jesus is saying. And that is that all is well. And because this has happened, I'm going to make it better than if it never happened. Because retribution is going to bring sevenfold to you. As a church, and you're going to have some nice looking furniture. Amen? Know this. I say this all the time because it just sounds too good to be true, and that's because it's the gospel. Gospel means good news, but it's too good to be true. You know, what's good news to the poor? You don't have to be poor. It's free. But this is the thing about Jesus. He always will appear to be better than what you've already thought. It'll always be better than what has happened to you already. He's always going to be better. So as I'm spending 45 minutes with him, we're going everywhere. And I'm feeling like, well, I'm really in on all this. He's letting me in on the kingdom. He's telling me secrets for 45 minutes. But what he gave me was years of writing. It's 59 titles that I have listed on my computer that I have to write, 59 books that I have not written yet. And that doesn't include the 6 that are already written that have been published. Did you hear me? 59 titles from 45 minutes. Because the Spirit of God has so much to say about what Jesus said that it's compacted in a zip file. And so it was transferred into me, just like with you when you pray in the Spirit, it's a zip file. In other words, it's compressed. It needs to be unzipped and it gets real big. A lot of data. A lot of things need to be worked out in your life. But see, the Spirit of the Lord is telling me to tell you this tonight. It wasn't what I plan on speaking on, but he told me, he said, you've got to tell them that they've got to get to where there's no distance between what has happened to them and me. Because I didn't do those things to them. I mean, Jesus was asked this himself. He said, why was this person born blind? Why were they born an invalid? He said, so the power of God could be displayed.
Amen.
Now everybody thinks, so God made him that way? No, I met Jesus. See how we misinterpret things? Jesus is focusing on the solution, just like the pilots do. Jesus didn't address the why. But see how we took it? I met him, I'm just telling you the truth. He did not address the why. He addressed what he wants to do. He said, I'm going to heal this person right now. That's what you need to know. Because they said, was it the sins of the fathers? Was it their father? Was it their father's? Why was this person? He says, neither. It was so the power of God could be displayed. But he wasn't saying that God did that. Why would God make somebody sick and then send Jesus to make them well? Did Jesus ever make anybody sick? Okay, so he only did the will of the Father, right? Okay, did he ever make anybody poor? Did he just come to give? Okay. So, I'm just giving you secrets to the kingdom. You have to discern and you have to judge your situation according to the God that you know, not the God that's being represented to you by the world, not by your father, your earthly parents. You can't judge God, your relationship with God with earthly parents. My dad called me and he's crying. He said, we messed up and we are so sorry. You were our first son. We didn't know what we were doing. I just did what I saw my father do. I mean, he had me paying rent and for food while I was in high school. Because he wanted me to turn out right. Oh, dear God, I was... I feel like a survivalist. But I turned out okay. But see, you don't judge your relationship with God on what happens to you. I mean, Warren Buffett's worth $55 billion, but I guarantee you he's not praying in tongues right now. Or either is Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger was asked, do you give God credit for your physique? He goes, no, I's the one who went to the gym. I's the one. So do you see it rains on the just and the unjust?
Yes.
God blesses everyone.
Yes.
Because he's a good God. However, your relationship with God, if you want to extend it into the supernatural, you're going to have to walk like Jesus did. Which means you're going to have to hear the Father's voice. So would you like to learn a little bit?
Yes.
Sorry, how are we doing? Oh, my. Okay. I have something secret here that I've never taught out of. I wrote it, and you're going to get to hear it tonight.
Woo!
I'm going to talk about how to hear the voice of God. How much time do I still have? Okay, the Lord told me to teach on this because, see, here's the thing. Jesus said, when you pray this way, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Okay, so God's not leading us into temptation. He's delivering us from it. He's delivering us from evil. Okay, so God's voice can be trusted. But see, it's not what you think. See, what you want is you want to be able to know that it's God's voice. I can tell you how to do it. You see, when I was over there, I could hear Jesus' voice clearly. And then the Spirit of God was behind me. And as Jesus was talking, the Holy Spirit, I kid you not, and I don't write about this, but the Holy Spirit was behind me. And everything that Jesus was saying for 45 minutes, the Holy Spirit was saying, oh, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, that there he said, this is tied to this. And then also in Galatians 3, 1. And also, he said in Psalms, when David said this, he would give me 7 scriptures for everything that Jesus was saying. And he would expand on everything while Jesus is talking. Now, the only reason that I could hear that is because I was out of myself. I didn't have this brain that wants to analyze everything. And I didn't have a body that was saying, hey, there's some chicken in the refrigerator. It's going, you know, I'm just starting to pray. You know what I'm talking about. All of a sudden, hey, there's a chicken. And don't forget to call Sally, you know, she gets mad if you don't call her. You know, like, oh, dear Lord, I need to just get to start praying, okay? So your body wants attention and your mind wants attention. because they're not going to participate in what you're about to do. This is a holy, sacred thing. It's communion with God. Okay, so your problem is not your spirit and your heart. Your problem is the two parts of you that don't get to participate in the supernatural. So, what they do is at night, I found this out, I was so mad. My body and my mind at night, they were having meetings without me, and they had voted me off, right? They decided to disqualify me. So they were having meetings without me. And they ganged up against me. You don't want to know why? Because they weren't included. When you pray in tongues, what happens? Your mind. It's like, is that really happening? Am I really saying something? You know, isn't Tampa Bay playing? You know, like this tongue stuff, you know, like, well, you can watch the game. You know, and before you know it, you're like, well, I don't know. Then you're like, did God really say? You're doubting. And so you have to make a decision that when you pray and you stay in that secret place with God, that nothing pulls you out of it. Nothing. So what you have to do, and I mean this, is war. We have stories. We had God moving in our house one day so strongly that all the animals in the area were trying to get into our house. They were chewing to get into our house. We had squirrels running through the walls. Everything just went haywire. Now, when I would get on the keyboard and start playing and worshiping God and then developing what I'm going to do with my next project, all the birds would come and sit on the windowsill and stare at me while I played the piano. And this one bird would sing with me while I was playing. You could hear him. We call him Wasabi. He would start singing when we would start worshiping. Most beautiful bird. And you know, so you can't explain what's happening. But see, so animals will respond to the spirit realm. So your flesh will too, and your mind will too. So when we were in Germany, I'm preaching. And the people are like looking around because they hear this bird singing while I'm preaching. It's Wasabi. It's that bird. They said, we've never heard him here. We've never heard that bird before. But he sang the whole time I preached. How did he get to Germany? Did you know that on my overnights, I would wake up in the morning in a different city every morning, and he'd be singing out there. I'd hear him singing. You can't explain that. Okay, so you have to close yourself in, and you have to say, even if it's 10 minutes, I am going to shut down everything for God, and I'm going to concentrate on my spiritual life. Okay? Now, mind, you're not invited. Body, you're not invited. I'll feed you when it's time. Mind, you know, you've run the show, you've made a mess. So, you get a timeout. You have to talk, you have to literally just, now I know this because I went to heaven, but you don't have to die and go to heaven to find this out. I'm telling you. Okay, so you have to remember, number one, if you're taking notes, you are made in the image of your Creator. So there is a part of you that is like God, understands and knows God. There's a part of you. But you got to remember, you got two other things working against that knowledge. You got your reasoning abilities, and you've got your body. So you have to do this. You have to say, you know what? For the next 10 minutes, 30 minutes, hour. For us, sometimes, I mean, think of this: as a flight attendant and as a hairdresser, not as an apostle. Me and my wife, at times, we would start praying, and 14 hours later, we finished. Well, what would cause anybody to do that? That became commonplace at times. Why? Because we broke free. Now, we don't do that all the time. But you know, that's how you know, hey, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. It just comes to you because you prayed it out. So you pray out the mysteries for 10 minutes. You don't feel a thing. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing is going to happen while you're praying. You're not going to get your answer. It's not going to manifest while you're praying. The biggest lie. Things might go opposite. Because see, you're going head to head with the enemy. If you're in that realm, you're going head to head. So it's, you know, you don't expect it to go the opposite way, but you know what I'm talking about. There's a war going to ensue when you enter in. But you're going to pray 10 minutes in the Spirit. And you're going to say, Lord, everything that the Spirit just prayed for me, I agree. Everything that just came through me, I agree with. I agree with you. I prayed out the mysteries. I wasn't speaking to man, according to Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14. It talks about that when we pray in the Spirit, we're not praying in our own understanding, but we're praying to God, we're praying mysteries. This is God's time, it's sacred. But you will not feel anything and you will not see an answer come. It'll actually go opposite. Does that make you feel a little better about what's going on now? When we do this, we just batten it down. I have an extra clip for my machine gun and I tape it like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm ready. I'm ready spiritually. I'm going right for the enemy. So when you pray in the Spirit, you're proclaiming the word of the Lord for your life. Amen. And so you have to remember that there is a part of you that has the image of the Creator. And number two, you remember Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve would have God come down and walk with them every day. And they would talk with him. So don't you think that what Jesus did would be better than that? Don't you think he should at least get that back? Okay, that's number two. Remember that, Adam and Eve. Don't you think that the work of Jesus Christ would at least be the same as what it was for Adam and Eve before the fall? Okay, but it's better. It's better. Okay, Abraham. Number three, Abraham. It's all new stuff. No one's heard this before. I wrote this a couple months ago, and then I just put it on the shelf. It's already done. Abraham. Think about this. The angel of the Lord called Abraham out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you. And multiply, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven. And as the sand which is on the seashore, and the descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. Did you hear what I just said? Okay, this guy is essentially a Muslim before there was Muslims. Okay? I mean, if you check it out, he even worshiped the moon. Just like they do, with the crescent moon and the star on their flag. The Muslims. I mean, he's a worshiper of the moon god. Check it out, Abraham, Ur of the Chaldees, right there above Kuwait is where he lived. Okay, he's told, I'm going to make you a nation. So he goes and does it. He offers up his son. He doesn't withhold his son from him, the promised son. And this is what God says. He says, listen, I am going to not only bless you, but your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. Verse 18 of Genesis chapter 22. In your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Did you hear what it just said? That's you. Your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. How did this guy become like this? I mean, his own brothers are fighting him right now. They're fighting each other. Do you get it? The Jewish people were plucked out of Kuwait before there were Jewish people. You don't get it, do you? Abraham was a Kuwaiti. He became the father of all nations. He became, through Isaac and Jacob, who became Israel, became a nation that nobody can seem to deal with because it won't go away, because it's God's property. Okay, so it says, because you obey my voice, all these things are going to be true for everybody. So that's you, because they obeyed us. So remember Abraham. If he can do it, you can do it.
Amen.
Okay, that's my point. Okay, so you write these down? Moses. It's going to be a book. It's going to come out in a couple years. But I'm not publishing it yet, but you get to hear first. I am so happy.
Amen.
Moses. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. Well, listen to this. Now, it shall come to pass if you diligently obey my voice. Okay, so see, God's mentioning this, this hearing his voice. So it's important to you, right? Okay, if you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord your God shall set you high above all nations. This is Old Testament. This is Moses. This is the one that said, you know, I don't want to go, but if I go, can Aaron speak for me? Said, if you'll listen to my voice this day, he said, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. So don't you think that you should at least have that?
Amen.
Is this good?
Amen.
I mean, this is Old Testament, so this is Moses. So what is that, number 5, right? Okay, so all these blessings in verse 2, it says, of 28 Deuteronomy, it says, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. See, it wasn't enough that they came upon them. It says, overtake them because you, what? Obey the voice of the Lord your God.
Amen.
Okay, so what is going on? It's the same thing with Day of Pentecost. Look what happened. Remember the four things I told you happened on the Day of Pentecost? The four manifestations that are still supposed to be in effect. But we haven't heard a rushing mighty wind yet tonight. We haven't seen fire on people's heads. One person got the joy.
Amen.
We had utterance. Okay, shouldn't it be at least as good as the Day of Pentecost? Okay, so you get where I'm going with all this. Okay, all right, so David, I guess that's number 6, right? Image of the Creator, number 1, Adam and Eve, 2, Abraham, 3, Moses, 4, David, 5. Okay. Psalms 95, verses 7 through 11. And this is from the Passion Translation, but don't be scared. It'll be okay. It's good. It's a good translation. For we are the lovers he cares for, and he is the God that we worship. So drop everything else and listen to his voice. See, that's what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you tonight. I could pack up and leave right now, but I'm not. The only thing that counts is you hearing his voice. See, Adam and Eve, they waited for God to come. And you know how they knew he was coming? I'm glad you asked, because I asked. I was told that when God comes and goes, and when he approaches anything, he said, are you ready for this?
Yes.
The wind, he said the air in front of him wants to bow to him and get out of the way. So it rushes out away from him so he can make way. So the wind in front of him as he's coming, it starts, you hear this rushing sound. Because the wind is getting out of his way. Because the wind actually obeys him. The air around God is servant to God. And will get out of the way when he comes. And it'll create a rushing sound. So you hear all this rushing sound. You hear it in heaven all the time. It's like a pulsating sound. I hear it now. It's because God is so powerful that His very presence, even like matter and molecules, they respond to Him. So what happens if you get hooked up with Him? What happens if accidentally, for 10 minutes, you get hooked up with Him and you say something from the other realm and it actually happens? What if you slip into the future now and you just say it and it happens? So, I'm praying in the spirit, and out of my spirit goes, Pastor Wayne in Wisconsin, you're going to call him today. This is what you're going to tell him. So that was at like in the morning. It's not even sunny yet. So about 2:30, this happens every day. I call somebody. I get a word. Pastor's all over. I just like, so I call him. He goes, my God, how do you do that? He goes, I was picking up the phone to call you. And I said, don't say anything. I said, I want to tell you what God told me. He goes, how do you do that? I go, I don't. Before you call, He answers. But He uses the body. You see, I got that in the morning. I didn't call Him at 10 in the morning or whatever. I just waited until it was the time. So when you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying out mysteries, but then all of a sudden, they come up in your understanding and your mind's allowed to participate. And then you're like, I have understanding. Now I know what's going on. Yeah. Yeah, I get it. The Lord said, you've been praying for a raise? He said, how'd you like to save $1,000 a month? This is what I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm done praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden it starts coming up into my mind. How would you like to save $1,000 a month? He says, you know what prosperity is, Kevin? It's not just what comes in. It's what doesn't go out. I'm not talking about giving. I'm talking about what the devil's taken from me because I'm being overcharged. I said, I'm interested. So in Phoenix, the cold air in my house is being sucked out into the surface of the sun we call Phoenix, Arizona. It's just, when we would land in Phoenix, I would say, welcome to the surface of the sun. We call it the Valley of the Sun, so I call it the surface of the sun. We live there. So, I get a Consumer Report magazine that day, and on that cover it says, how to save $1,000 a month through preventive repairs. And it shows how all this money is going out to all your utilities and things like that. And it shows you how you can do things that will cost little at Home Depot. And you just do these things. And so we did that with the house, and then it talked about my insurance. It says, call your insurance agent and tell them this. And then, like join a frequent flyer program and all these different things you could do. I just started doing them all. And I made more than $1,000 a month because it wasn't going out anymore. The Spirit of God initiated that. But see, He knew that Consumer Report was coming. It was telling you how to save $1,000 a month. And so I did everything to the house. I did everything with the insurance, and there was like a bunch of stuff. And it tells you what to say. Like when we went to buy a car, we took a car salesman with us. Remember that Tom Petrie? So Tom Petrie, he you know what a Bentley is? He sells Bentleys and Porsches and what else? Yeah, okay, so he's in Scottsdale, Arizona, you know. know. And so he's selling all these nice cars. And he said, the Lord told me that you're supposed to get a new car and I'm going to take you. We're going to the Nissan dealership right now. I go, oh, really? We are? He goes, yeah, it's time. He says, you need a new car. And I wouldn't do it because, you know, I'm like, I feel like I'm like in studio wrestling with these guys for 4 or 5 hours just to get them down to where it should be. I'm like, well, why would I want to do that? So like, we always keep our car. You know, Lord. He said, so we pull up and he goes, oh no, pull to the back. I go, what? He goes, oh, we're not going to the showroom floor. We're going to the back. We're going to the fleet department. The guy's waiting for us back there. We sat there to make it short. Every time that the guy would go to say something to me, he'd say, you know what, I can't do that because he's here. He's going to know what I'm doing. He says, I can't do anything with this guy here. I'm thinking, that's why he's here. The guy made like $300. Did you know that that car, we bought that brand new in 2000. It has almost 300,000 miles on it. But we still drive it. It still has, we've only, like think about it, it's 300,000 miles. It hasn't cost us anything. Now you know 300,000 miles. We just replaced the tires for the second time. The original ones were on there for 150,000 miles, and now we just replaced them at 200,000, and now it's almost 300,000, and they look brand new, okay? The brakes, still have the original brakes on, and we just replaced them both. It was the first time we've replaced the brakes since we got them. The air conditioner, which in Arizona runs all the time, we just replaced it before we moved here 3 years ago for the first time at 250,000 miles. The mechanic said, you know, this is unheard of. But see, what happened? It's this. These guys in the Old Testament are operating off, well, why can't Kevin Zadok? Why can't you? So when I met Jesus, I'm trying to tell you something. His personality was, listen, you have a better covenant because I suffered and died. You have a better covenant and you need to tap into it. He was like that. He was like, you know what? I'm not going back and going through that again for you. So you better tap in. He said, I don't want one drop of my blood being wasted. Amen. He said, you're forgiven. So get over it. Amen. He said, tell everybody they need to get over their past sins. He told me to tell people that. He said, you all just need to get over it. There's no record up here of your past sins. You're done. Did you know, like, I looked in his eyes. Kathy likes when I tell this. He was talking to me, and he's like this far from me. And all of a sudden, I realized he's treating me like I'm the ambassador of heaven that I'm going to work with him. He's talking about all the things that we're going to do together. And all of a sudden, I thought, he doesn't know a thing about me, my past. You know, and I wasn't like, you know, I was going to be the best person in hell. No one's going to believe that I was there. Everybody in hell is going to say, why are you here? See, because I was so religious, and I was going to hell. But I still am a sinner that was saved by grace. And I still didn't deserve to be treated the way I'm treated with God. Okay, so when I'm with him, I'm thinking, why is he talking to me like I've never sinned? And I looked in his eyes, and I looked really deep in his eyes, and as he's talking to me, I saw that he had no idea that I had ever done anything wrong. He didn't know. He was not allowed to access the files. They were gone. They weren't accessible. So Jesus had treated me as though I'd never sinned. So don't you think you should probably wake up tomorrow morning feeling a little bit better about what Jesus has done for you? Amen. You are free. This is the honest to God truth. People are trying to get over their past sins, and we're beyond that. Okay, so now when you do sin, he's faithful and just. If you'll confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins. So you can get right now with him, and it doesn't exist. 1 John was written to believers. It says, if you do sin, like perhaps you sin, you have an advocate. Confess your sins and he's faithful and just to forgive your sins. So, Jesus said, I'm not going to do this again for anybody. And it was enough. Everything that I did was enough. And he said, the deal was, I get everything. I buy everybody out. Or I'm not going. So my blood, everything that I did, it has to be enough. Or I'm not going to do it. So that was the thing. And he told me, he said, when I was in the belly of the earth, I was completely severed from the Father. He said the deal was that I had to go to the lowest part of hell, and my big toe had to touch the lowest part of hell, where the vilest sinner would go. Now, a lot of people don't believe he went to hell, but he told me he did. He showed me the scriptures. He said, Kevin, I had to go. He said, I had to be baptized in the Jordan. I had to go and be tempted by the devil. He said, I had to fulfill all righteousness. Part of that was my big toe had to touch this, the deepest part of hell and claim it for God. So he said, I sat down there and was alienated. And the devil told me, he said, you should have took me up when I offered you to all the kingdoms of the earth. You would have, he said, you wouldn't be here right now. You'd have everything. You blew it. He said, I had no communication with the Father. He said, now he started choking up when he's telling me this. Can you believe this? Jesus Christ is choking up because he wanted people to know that it just didn't end with the beatings and with the cross. He went to hell. And he said, down there, he said, I made everybody an expert prayer by what I did down there. Now, I hardly ever teach this because people don't even believe he went to hell. But he said, the Son of Man's going to go to the belly of the earth just like Jonah went in the belly of the whale for 3 days. You can ask Jonah, it was not fun where he was. So why would Jesus use that? If you read what Jonah wrote, he thought he was in hell. I mean, he says that. Okay? So Jesus told me, he said, while I was down there, the deal was, I would go down there, no communication with the Father and no communication with the Holy Spirit. The deal was, is that I had to trust the Father that he would give a command to the Holy Spirit and I would be resurrected. But he said, are you ready for this? He said, if the Father had not given the command, I'd still be down there today. That's how much I had to trust. Now, that wouldn't have happened. But he said, I had to trust that my circumstances was not the truth. And he said, so, he said, I made everybody an expert prayer. Every believer is an expert prayer because when he sat down there, he said, I rehearsed Psalm 16. I set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. I shall see the light. The Lord shall lead me out. And my soul, I will not see. I will not see my deterioration of my soul and my body. He said that psalm was written for him by David years before he came. By the Spirit of God. He rehearsed that. He said there was no evidence that I was who I was because I did not have the witness of the Spirit and I did not have communication with the Father. He said, so I had to rehearse the Word of God in hell, trusting that I would be raised from the dead. And he said, when hell lit up that day, he said, demons were thrown everywhere because they didn't think it was going to happen. But he said, I made everybody an expert prayer. He said, Kevin, when you pray from those depths. He said, there's a place in the Spirit that I made for you. In the deepest, darkest despair, you can pray. And you'll be resurrected. You're going to get an answer to your prayer. So, you haven't experienced what Jesus has experienced, but sometimes you feel like it's close. I know what it's like to smell the dragon's breath. I know what it's like to feel demons and not feel angels. When the devil's talking to me more than the God's talking to me. I know what it's like to tithe and to give and to be stolen from, knowing that that's not supposed to happen. I know what it's like to watch 9/11 happen when I prayed against it. You know, I'm thinking, why did God even tell me 9/11 and then it didn't stop it? But you know what's so interesting, Ian? Think about this. A man named Ronnie Howard Brown was told by the Lord to go have services there. He said everybody in those towers got at least 3 tracks. He stood at the bottom of those twin towers and handed out tracks every day. Yeah. He said He said, my guess is that it, I saw, I mean, he said this, I this is not hearsay. He said, I know that personally that everyone in that tower got at least two charts, probably three. He said, and then the Lord just told me it's done. He said, told him to go to Phoenix and do the same thing. And so he did. He's done it twice. But nothing's happened in Phoenix yet. But we moved anyway. I started to see something. You see, your prayers are being answered. You just don't know it. Those people were warned. He believes that 3,300 people went to heaven that night or that morning. He believes that most of those people are in heaven. Okay, so your prayers do count, but see, you're not going to see the results while you're praying. You're going to pray from your depths, the depths that God made. So, like right now, as I'm talking to you, I mean, I'm not thinking about myself. Like, think about this. I don't need your money. All I need is your love. All I want is your love, your permanent relationship with all of you. Everywhere I go, that's what I want. I just want love. I want to love and I want to be loved. I don't need anything that you have. I don't want anything you have. Do you understand that? I don't. Like, in other words, I didn't come because I have a need. I came because I have something to give. It's so liberating to know that. I have no needs. Did you know, just because the devil, like he does to you, me and my wife, 11 years ago, we couldn't pay our electric bill. So what happened? We got tired. I was looking for quarters. We were looking for quarters to gather quarters together so we could pay our electric bill so we could shut off. Tithing, believing God. You see, our circumstances were contrary, but that didn't stop us. I said, Lord, something's going to give, and it's not going to be you. It's going to be the devil. He's going to give. He's going to give in. And then somebody paid off our house. Somebody paid off our house. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
Paid it off. A year later, someone paid off our other house. Because as soon as we paid off that house, the Lord said, buy another house. So we bought another house, and somebody paid that off. Are you hearing me? This is his flight attendant and hairdresser. So you know what I just did? Just to irritate the devil, and that's what I'm telling you. I just paid my electric bill for the next 3 years. I just gave $3,000 to the electric company. They're like, what? I go, I'm just doing it because I can do it. You want to know why? Because the devil made me and my wife look for quarters. Is anybody listening to me? And he wasn't screaming, you know, like I normally he screams like a little girl. He wasn't screaming loud. So I went and I paid my water bill for the next 3 years, and I paid my gas bill for the next 3 years. Just because I can. It wasn't, I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you that what happens when it gets turned around, it's not enough just to let it go. I lost hair. People took it out one at a time. My honey's my hairdresser. She's believing for a full set. I stopped it from falling out, and I can bring it back. But it's just like it's a process. But when I wake up in heaven, I'm going to go like this. Because I'm going to have hair in my eyes. And I'm gonna have to clean it. So I know that. I know that. Okay, but this is my point, is that the what's so funny is you heard the story about how I was feeding the poor and I had that angel visitation, and they told me about the market crash. Well, did you know that when the markets crashed, the fund that I was in, I have a proof of all this, I've documented all, it went down 80% without me. So, like, it shows that I got out, and then everybody was, like, asking me, how did you know? And I did it twice. I did it for both market crashes, as a flight attendant and as a hairdresser. But see, it was because I spent time in prayer, and I heard God's voice. And then the Lord was telling me to feed the poor. He was telling me to do things. But see, that was the process of getting into the secret things of God, what he was really, shall we hide from Abraham what we're about to do? See, so God purposely, I asked him, because I said, what happened there? He said, well, Kevin, Abraham and Moses were the two of my favorites. So he said, I intentionally walked by Abraham's property on the way to Sodom and Gomorrah. I purposely walked so that they would see me walking. See, Abraham recognized the one in the middle because he had appeared to him. He made a covenant with him. Is anybody here?
Yes.
Okay, so God told me, he said, we purposely, when we were walking towards Sodom and Gomorrah, we purposely walked at the edge of Abraham's property so he would see me. And he came running out. And he struck up a conversation, just like he's doing with you right now. He's striking up a conversation with you as I'm talking to you. He's starting to tell you some things. And so they're talking, and it gets around to this thing, like, well, shall we hide from Abraham what we're about to do? Well, see, God, all the whole time, I'm going to tell you. God was in a pickle. See, he couldn't do anything in Sodom and Gomorrah until his brother was out, because he had a covenant with Abraham. So Lot, he had to get Lot out of there. So he had to get Abraham to give him permission. And Abraham said, well, you know what, there's 50 righteous people. Would you do it? See, God purposely did all that because he couldn't do anything. Oh my gosh, nobody's getting this.
Oh, yeah.
What do I do? See, he's Moses. You don't get it. But God showed me, because I ask all these questions. I don't ask about UFOs or dinosaurs. I ask him about, what did you mean here? He said, Kevin, Moses, when he was on the mountain, he said, I purposely shifted everything onto him because I knew he would shift it back onto me. So if you look, this is what happens. God says, see, up until into the first part of Exodus, God all talks about his people. I'm going to bring my people out. My people, my people, my people, called by my name. You know, okay? If you look, you know, in chapter 29, 30 of Exodus, God all of a sudden starts referring to the people as Moses' people. And Moses catches it. He goes, no, they're your people. And oh, by the way, if you don't go with us, we're not going. God was in a pickle. See, he had made a covenant with his people, but he couldn't be around them because they were stiff-necked and unbelieving. But he was in a pickle. So you don't get this, do you?
Yeah.
God had already made a covenant. So he's made a covenant with you. So why don't you switch everything and say, okay, I'm paying my electric bill because I can. But see, it's part of a covenant. I'm only doing it because the devil made me feel bad for being a son of God. And now I'm going to make him feel bad. So Moses said, no. You're not going to kill him. But see, God knew that. But see, he needed Moses to talk to him. And that's what prayer is. So your prayers now are going to be different, aren't they? You're going to spend time with God. He's going to let you in. Shall we hide from you? Let's go what we're about to do. No, he doesn't want to hide it from you. He wants to trust you. So, the system. Last thing I want to talk about, the system, the world system. The world system is set up so that you can't win. No matter what. I mean, if you look at it, think about this. You know the Wall Street Journal has all those pages of all those stocks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they put one of those pages on a wall. They gave darts to a monkey and had him throw the darts at the wall. And wherever they landed on whatever stock it was, the point was on, they chose those stocks, and the monkey did better than the analysts at Wall Street, in a firm. Did you hear what I just said?
Yes.
The stocks did better than the monkey chose. I have no idea why I just told you that. See, the system is set up for you to be in debt. The system is set up that you're to be a servant. Okay, so what happens when you start to do the unconventional, the uncommon, the supernatural? What happens if you start, then the system will have a voice. The IRS will call you and say, it's impossible for you to give this much money because you didn't make enough. How did, people don't do this. I go, okay, well, what do you need? And they're like, you're not going to argue with us? I go, no. I have nothing to hide. What do you want? I said, I'll send you everything. And they're like, totally. So I just sent them everything. Okay, the system will have a voice when you confront it. But the system is fine with you being a servant and just doing what they tell you to do. So if you don't pray, those people that got arrested, I tried. I purposely, one night, I didn't speak in tongues in my hotel room before I went to work the next day. And nothing happened during the day. Not one bad passenger, not one paperwork, not nothing. You see, the devil wanted to make it think like, hey, if you'll just back off, I'll make it easier on you. But when I would pray in tongues, those 15 people got hauled off. It took 8 police officers to contain them. And they were just crying out. Every time I come by, they were demons crying out. Is anybody here?
Yeah.
Okay, so this system. The markets crashed in the fall of 2008. So, the Lord tells me in February, it's the love. Go ahead and put it back in. Second time now. At the same time, somebody pays our house off. So I called and they said, the bank said, this is what you need to do. We're going to transfer the funds from this person to your account. We need your account number, we need the routing number, and we need to know what the payoff amount is for the first 15 days of the month. They'll give you 2 numbers telling you what the first 15, get that for us, and then we'll transfer the money and we'll pay your loan off. Through your house at the wishes of this person. So, you know, I'm on the phone with Kathy sitting there. We're there for 2 hours on call, on wait, because everybody's defaulting. Remember, it was the mortgage debacle?
Yeah.
That's why the markets crashed. So, and I'm not thinking that. I'm just thinking, man, I'm excited, man. This is going to blow away my bank. You know, I'm going to pay off my loan. God paid it off. So somebody finally answers the phone, like I'm up next. And he says, yes, sir, can I help you? And I said, I'd like to pay off my mortgage. And there's silence. He goes, this isn't funny, Mr. Zadai. And I looked at my wife, what? I go, what do you mean? I know it's not funny. I said, aren't you happy? He goes, you're serious? And I can tell he's tearing up. He says, we just spent day after day, people crying because they can't pay their mortgage and they're losing their house. And we're working with them. And then you come and I just thought you were joking. This was a prank call. I go, no, it's not a prank call. So he gives me the information and we do the transaction. This is what happens. I get a notice in the mail. You know, you're thinking you're going to get this notice that says, congratulations. You know what I get? See, the system has a voice. But see, now you're bucking against it because God's involved. This is what happened. I'm talking about prayer here. But see, everything that I'm talking about was birthed in prayer, in the spirit, without understanding. So I get this letter in the mail. It says, okay, we have it. I should actually just have it in my binder because I have it documented. It says, Mr. Zadai, if you do not pay $0.00 by this date, you will be in default and will be reported to these 3 credit agencies. You have 7 days to respond to this letter. And they repeat it twice. It says you owe $0.00. So if you don't pay that by this amount, right?
$0.
So now I got to wait on the phone another couple hours to get somebody. So I do. And I go, what is going on? And he goes, this is what he said. He said, well, I'll clear it. So he goes to clear it, and the computer refuses to clear it. He said, I've never seen anything like this. He said, it's like it has a personality. I go, to getting started. Are you ready for this? The bank got involved with it. You know what they told me? That the only way, are you ready for this? I had to write a check for $0.00. I had to mail it in. And they ran it through, you know, and it does that shh, you know, and it prints out, and it cleared me. It cleared us. See, the system didn't want to let go of me.
Right.
And it doesn't want to let go of you. So now I have seen so many miracles that I want to impart this to you. So this is what's going to happen. It's going to start happening whether you like it or not, because God loves you and he's good to you.
Amen.
And he's done with being misrepresented. I mean, think about what he has done for us, and he's so misrepresented, and he doesn't push himself. But I met him, and he's worth it. He loves you. You know, some of the clothes that I have, the reason I wear ties and I'm dressed nice is because for years while I was in Joseph's pit, serving drinks, watching my friends on TV with Kenneth Hagin singing, and I was supposed to be singing with them. I was going to work and apologizing for the weather. So I bought all these nice clothes because one day I was going to be standing before you. That was my way. You see, you can do that. You have to see yourself out of debt. You have to see yourself, God moving in your life to where he reverses that curse. I just gave you some examples of people. I mean, I only got through 2 pages of that book, but it's enough because I feel like the Spirit of God is saying something here. You know, the curse is broken.
Hallelujah.
But he sent me here to tell you this. I mean, I am flat out. Do you know I've been translated? It's documented. I've been translated. I have been places that I was praying for people, and it's documented that I was there at their house. They told me what I said. I was saying it in prayer with my eyes shut. I didn't know that I had left the building. I was just praying for these people. And all of a sudden, a prophecy came forth to this sister that I was praying for. So I just spoke it out. I thought, no distance in the spirit, right? So she tells me, she goes, you appeared at the foot of my bed, and this is what you said. You prayed over me, you said, and then you prophesied this, this, and this. And then I told you to be quiet because you woke up all my roommates because you were so loud. And then you just disappeared. Okay, so I did that without even fasting or praying or even believing for it. So why can't you just accept the fact that somebody that was sent to you to tell you that you don't have to be in debt, that you don't have to put up with the devil anymore? That you don't have to. You don't have to destroy it. The Jesus I met, he did everything he did so that we could rule and reign. He did this because he wanted us to be like him. He did this because he wanted many sons and daughters in heaven. He wanted to have a family. He wanted to share everything. Okay, so Jesus is standing over the covenant that he wrote in his blood. And he's saying to you, my blood was enough, so there's no problem here. He says, first of all, now listen to this. Everyone listen to me. This is not Kevin anymore. I feel like I'm from another realm right now. I'm not speaking to you as Kevin anymore. I'm telling you by the Spirit of God. Number one, you forget about your past sins. Is it clear?
Yes.
Either it was enough or it wasn't. But let's get it settled right now. You're forgiven or you're not, okay? So no more thinking about your past. Everybody agree with me?
Yes.
Okay, you're not going to think about your past anymore because there's no past. You've got to let it go. Okay, number one. Number two, there's no such thing as debt in heaven. So it's not God's idea for you to be in debt. Okay, but it's happened, okay? But why can't you, if a flight attendant and a hairdresser can walk out of it, why can't you? Jesus told me that he reversed a curse for people in an old covenant where they killed animals. And they got blessed. So Jesus was asking me, don't you think that if I agree to come and do this, that it should be enough? That you shouldn't have to worry about anything anymore. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you feel, it's what you know. And the only way you know is when you pray in the Spirit and you pray out the mysteries. So I'm feeling the power of God. So I'm going to prophesy over you. But here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to do. There's such a spirit of liberty on me right now. That there's like literally nothing impossible to me right now. Nothing. Like anything you can tell me, it's not impossible. I have so much faith right now. So this is what I'm trying to tell you. I don't have to lay hands on you. I don't have to prophesy over each individual. I'm telling you by the Spirit of God that you've been set apart for this time and this purpose. This city is your city. This is your city. There's people that have your money. There's people that have, think about it, there are people that are healthier than you. And they don't even believe in God. So, the Jesus I met, he suffered and died for my health, for my healing. And I woke up this morning, I had to take medicine for my thyroid. God didn't do that. I took my healing this morning, just like with my glasses. I believed it took all those years. But I don't wear corrective lenses anymore as of 3 weeks ago. But I got healed in 1983 when I had to buy glasses and I was in tears because I don't believe this way. I said, I'm healed, Lord. I don't understand it. But now I don't have contacts in. So if you have to take medicine, don't let it bother you. It is not representative of who you are as a person. You haven't failed. You live in a fallen world. Things have happened that God did not intend to happen, but he did not do those things to you. So we're going to let go of that. Okay, so we're going to have an understanding here. When you pray in the Spirit, you are praying out profound mysteries. And if you could understand what you were saying, you would totally live differently. Because the Spirit is thinking better about you than you think about yourself. Now, I've had several occasions where people were able to understand what I was saying in tongues because they spoke that language. They have told me in great detail what I was saying. I knew personally that there is no way for them to know what I was planning on doing the next day. But they were telling me what I was saying in their language about tomorrow, and it happened, and it was impossible when I said it, because it involved a different city, different people that I had not been in contact with for years. But I knew what I had planned on doing, but I was waiting for the Lord to tell me to do it. The Spirit of God, in this person's language, I was fluently stating the facts that were supposed to happen the next day in a language I did not know. So when you pray in tongues, the next time you pray, I want you to start thinking about what I just told you, because the Spirit is speaking your future, and he wants you to live in that now. Now, I've told you a lot of personal things, but I want you to know something. I used to, when I was younger, and this is for Pastor, when I was younger, I used to imagine myself being given $1 million. I believed it so much that when I was a kid, I would go to grade school with a briefcase. See, this man's dreams aren't dead. I'm doing this because God's imparting something to him. I'm not here anymore. Kevin's left the building. I went to Kmart and I bought packages of play money and I stacked my briefcase full of it and I went to school every day with that money in my briefcase. And I sat in class. I bought a matchbox car of the car I wanted. And while they were sitting up there teaching, I would open my briefcase and look at that money and that car. And one day the teacher caught me and goes, what do you have in that briefcase? And they made me show everybody. They didn't understand what I was doing. Okay, so you know how you, like right now, we could all imagine what it would be like for you to get $1 million. You find out tomorrow you get $1 million. Oh, you know, like when I just said that, did you feel what your body did? Something happens chemically in your body when you think about $1 million. And you think, okay, what would I do with it? And you start to spend it in your mind, right?
Yeah.
And you start like, you can almost smell it, the new tires in your new car, you know. And that sticker that's on the side window, you get to peel it off. You know, the sticker that gives the price. Did you know that when we got that $1 million from that person, there was no difference in the feeling than when I was in grade school? Imagining it? Did you hear what I just said? You see, my body just sided with the image. The chemicals in my body just sided with the reality of what I was imagining. So when it actually happened, it was the same feeling. Did everybody get what I just said?
Yes. Yeah.
So when I was a little kid and I imaged it, and then when it actually happened, me and my wife, there was no difference. Now, how do you explain that? That's because we were made in the image of God. And so, think about this. This is a word for pastor. See, in Babylon, they weren't good. So God one day said, if we don't go down and stop them, there's nothing that they can't imagine that they won't be able to do. Now, God said, if we don't go down and stop them, anything they imagine, did you hear what he said, imagine they're going to do? God had to come down and stop it. See, they had unity, but they had the wrong belief system. The wrong belief system had to be stopped. But you know how God did it? He broke up the unity. Oh, you didn't get this. The reason why we have continents now, if you look in the days of plague, all that land is separated into continents. And you can see the, where they shifted. Okay, then the languages. People couldn't talk to each other anymore. Okay, so Jesus Christ himself told me that on the day of Pentecost, he reversed that. We all speak one language in the spirit now. See, the devil saw this day of Pentecost, and he fights it more than anything else. So I don't want you on the wrong side of this, okay? The devil knew that he can't fight the truth. So what he's doing is he's fighting unity. You didn't get that, did you? You see, if you believe the right thing and you have unity, even God can't stop you. He did. He came down and stopped them. But do you understand what I'm saying? Is that if God doesn't, God's not going to stop you when you believe the truth and you agree to it. Okay, so do you understand why the devil doesn't want anyone to agree on anything in the church? So I'm telling you something by the Spirit of God. The power of what you have here is in your agreement, in your unity. The unity of the vision, the unity of the purpose and the plan.
Amen.
So the Spirit is saying the same thing to everybody. And when you agree on that, you're unstoppable. The devil can't stop you. So it's, right now, what happens is you have a core group of people, and you agree, and you say the same thing, and you do the same thing, and the devil can't stop it. Because see, that's what, he knows this, because that's how he was stopped. Okay, so from this day forth, I am telling you, it's going to be totally different. You get to the place where you know that God wants to do it for you. Nothing's stopping you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, there are many voices. I'm just giving words of knowledge here. I'm not picking people out because then I eliminate the other three people that need to hear too. So I'm giving words of knowledge. I know who I'm talking to right now. There's people in your life that are talking, but they're keeping you back. But see, they become common. But the Lord is telling you right now that He wants to give you new relationships with new friends that are speaking where you're going. So be ready for it. If the Lord starts to tell you, you need to start backing off, backing out certain relationships. I'm telling you this because the Lord's saving your life right now. You know who you are. There are people here that need to say goodbye to certain people. There's some of you, the Lord's already let me know that He's going to visit you. Okay, now the reason He's going to visit you is because He can trust you. But when He visits you, He's going to speak to you. And the power of the Lord is going to overshadow you. And when He does, He's going to tell you something. You need to do what He tells you to do in that presence. I saw days in this church where the glory was so strong that God was speaking to people. But you're going to have to act on it. It's going to be so strong that you have to implement into this realm. Just go ahead and yield to Him. I don't have to touch you. Come on, just yield to Him. This guy's right here, right now. He's so strong. He's overshadowing us right now in the holy presence of God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my. The Lord's telling you right now, hear Him. This is the Spirit of God saying to you, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. You just watch and see what I do. It's going to be worth it, what you've gone through. It's going to be worth it. Just lay it on the altar. You don't have to understand everything. You just have to believe. I speak healing to everyone's heart. I speak deliverance and healing. The Lord loves you. He's called you as His own. There's no one like Him. He loves you. Surely He has visited us tonight. The release of the Spirit has happened in this area, and I thank You for it, Father, the release of Your Spirit. The bright and shining cloud is over this city. Your glory shall be displayed, Father, and I thank You for it. Many voices will be sent here to speak into this region.
This is the day that the root is gone away. The root is gone away. It's plucked up, it's dried up, it's gone, 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 gone. Ha ha ha. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. A bright, 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 light, white, glorious future for this place. Hashalehele shenando gorro sonando. Thank you for your glory, Lord, in this house. Thank you for your glory. More, 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 more. More glory.
So, the end of this process is this. You actually start participating in everything that's inside of you. You actually start to see it. You see, you were in Christ before the foundation of the world. God spoke you out, and he got to look at you. But you were in him. Do you realize that? Paul said some amazing things. If you just give me 2 more minutes here, I just gotta read this to you because the Lord told me to. He told me, he said, you gotta know what I did. You gotta tell the people what I did. Paul said this, Ephesians chapter 1. I pray this. I just open Ephesians. This is my prayer time. I pray in tongues and I read this. But this is what he said. May God himself, the heavenly Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, release grace over you and impart total well-being into your lives. Passion Translation. Verse 3, chapter 1. I just pray this. Everything heaven contains has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father. This is Paul talking. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, all because he sees us wrapped up in Christ. This is why we celebrate him with our hearts. Verse 4. He chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself even before he laid the foundation of the universe. The literal says before he lit up the universe. Because of his great love, he ordained, commissioned us as one with Christ from the beginning so that we would be seen as a holy in his eyes, as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. Uh-oh. It has always been in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children. Verse 5. Verse 7, since we are now joined to Christ, we have been given the treasures of salvation by his blood, the total cancellation of our sins, all because of the cascading riches of his grace. This, verse 8, this superabundant grace is already powerfully working in us and flooding us in every part of our being, releasing all forms of wisdom and practical understanding. Do I need to go on? It just gets better. Do you hear what I just read? It's just what I preached. See, I prayed this and then I preached it to you tonight. This is the Jesus I met. If you don't know him, you need to come up here and let me pray for you, okay? If you don't know Jesus and you want to know him, come up and let me pray for you. If you need any type of healing, you have to realize that he's already done everything he's going to do about it. You have to receive it. I'm receiving it. I used to run marathons. I limp because I have no cartilage in my left knee. That's not God's fault. He healed my kidneys. He healed my eyes. He paid off our houses. I ride on Jesse the Planet's airplane. For God's sake, he can heal my knee. Are you kidding me? He can heal my thyroid. So I take my medicine every morning and I say, Lord, I just thank you. That day is coming. Okay? It's because of this. Because he richly lavished on us his abundance. It's cascaded and it's working in us. It's flooding every part of us. It's releasing all forms of wisdom. That's what happens to you when you pray. Can you understand why I do 11-hour services sometimes now? Because it's just like, it's addictive. The Jesus I met is real. He's real. But he's the real thing because he cares more about you than himself. See, because he doesn't have any needs except one thing. He wants you to return love to him. He just wants you to love him. He just wants you to know what he did for you, and then you be thankful and thank him for it. That's all he wants from you. He doesn't require anything else except for you just to have a passion. So tonight when you go home, remember one thing. Jesus told me, because I pray for people and it bounces off of them back to me. And I don't understand that because I care about these people. But Jesus said, you can't make someone have passion for something. You can't make people want something that they don't want. So tonight, I'm placing on you a demand. And that demand is that you have a passion. It's going to burn. You're going to find a passion for God.
Amen.
You're like David. He said in Psalm, where is God that I may meet with him? Just tell me where he is and I want to go. That's David. You see, you can't make yourself want something that you don't want. But see, God said that perhaps... Paul said, perhaps God will even grant these people that he was talking about in one of the books of the Bible. He said, perhaps he'll even grant them the gift of repentance. Jesus said, you know what? You can't even come to the Father unless he draw you. So this is on you now because I've just decided I'm going to place this on you. You're going to have a passion for God. It's going to be a gift from heaven. It's going to burn. And you're going to be like, sometimes I can't go to sleep because I know he wants to talk to me. I know he wants to get something across to me. There's a fire that burns inside of me. And I don't need anything. We don't need anything. Honestly, Kathy asked me what I wanted for my birthday, and I couldn't think of one thing I wanted. I said, I want souls. I said, I want to see God start healing people in my services. I want people to get saved. That's all I want. I have 8 keyboards. I have 8 synthesizers. I have 4 cellos. I have 4 violins. I have a flute. I have a clarinet. Not only do I have 6 saxophones, 4 of them are from Kenny G. I have two bass guitars. I have about four or five guitars. And they just come to me. They just come to me. So do you understand that when you start doing God's will, things are just coming to you?
Yeah.
You won't even have to ask. I knew before I came here that I was supposed to go with Jesse to Chicago. So we were out eating. I'm waiting for him to ask me, and he doesn't ask me. So he drops us off in the driveway, and I'm walking in the driveway, and they always wait till we get in the house, and then they back out. So you see Jesse and his white hair waving, you know. And I'm like, God, you said we're going to Chicago to go with this. And I turned to Kat, I said, so the next day, you know, like I get up, we get up and pray. And I, you know how you just know, and it didn't happen. I get a call at 1 o'clock. I said, Kathy, I know this is short notice, but Jesse feels like you're supposed to go to Chicago. Can you still do it? I go, we already know. I go, what? I go, we already knew. That's why we stood last night when you were backing out. I felt like, she goes, oh. She said, well, we didn't think you could go because you're going to Jupiter. You know, we didn't think that, you know, like, you're busy getting him ready for all that. I said, no, I knew we were supposed to go. So do you see how if you just let God work, the right people will hear from God? Jesse told us, he said, you always went in and talked to God, and then he talks to me. And he said, that's the way it should be. He said, the reason you're ordained by me, the reason I took you to TBN, the reason that I write the foreword to your book, is because you didn't manipulate. You went to your prayer closet, you and your wife prayed, and God spoke to me to do all those things for you. He said, it's like very rare. So I love you all. Thank you for coming. I'm going to hand Diane. Now, one thing you got to be sure of, I am so sure of this, because I was in heaven. You will all, I will get to visit with you in heaven. I'll see you again, but if when I get to heaven, you will come up to me because you'll know what happened tonight.
Wow.
You'll know there. See, you'll know then what happened tonight, and you'll thank me. You'll thank me for coming, not because of who I am, but because you'll look back and you'll see that things changed. They really did. It was a pivotal point in your life. See, it was an impartation. I used to get struck by the Spirit of God, and I could hardly walk out of a service, but I didn't get my package. You know, I got hands laid on me, and I got blasted, but I didn't hear the word of the Lord. I would go to my car crying. I said, Lord, you touched me, but I didn't get my answers. And I told the Lord, I'm not going to just lay hands on people. And, you know, I said, I want people to be able to walk out to their car and know they heard from God. And that's why I do what I do. I want you to have fruit that lasts. I want you to have the word of God that produces fruit. Because you getting thrown down by that, I can pray for you and the power of God will hit you. But then when you get up, that'll leave. The only thing that remains is God's words to you. So I would rather just give you a message and then you walk out and you're like a tank. Amen?
Amen.
Love you all.
Thank you, Phil. I just want to mention to you to check out the book table out in the lobby. We have Kevin's, he brought some material with him. This is the Heavenly Visitation. It's the book, the study guide, and it's a CD as well, available in different formats. And this one is called Days of Heaven on Earth. Again, the book, the study guide, and the CD, all individual. I take a look at that. Last thing I want to say is we need some helpers to help us to break down. The more helpers we have, the faster we can break down. If we can get 10 people to help us break down, we can get it done fast. Right, Miguel? So we don't want just Dan, Miguel, and me breaking down. Dan can't help because he's injured. So we need some helpers. Can I get some volunteers? Some hands? It can be male or female. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Awesome. 12. Thank you so much. It should go really fast, right? So as soon as we close service, we are going to start taking everything down. Praise God. Thank you to Kevin and Kathy for coming to our church. You know, I don't know if you realize it, but you've been in church 3 hours tonight. But let me tell you, when you get into the presence of the Lord, what's the hurry to get out?
Amen.
Right? Amen. And what Kevin said tonight, one of the greatest keys, one of the greatest and most important things in your whole life is to hear from God and do what He says. And one of the greatest secrets to hearing from God is praying in the Spirit. And Kevin won't tell you this, but when he was a flight attendant, wherever he was flying to, like he said, he's been to Jupiter before, West Palm Beach. And he would have dinner, then go to his hotel room and pray for 4 hours in the Spirit. He did that for years. Am I right? For 3 years. Excuse me. For 29 years. Every night. You prayed in the Spirit. For how long did you pray in the Spirit?
Mostly
4 hours. 4 hours every night for 29 years. So you see, some people may sit here and say, well, I wish I could hear God like that. Pray in the Spirit and you will.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm stirred up to pray more in the Spirit. Are you? I'm stirred up to pray in the Holy Ghost more, right? Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for what you have imparted to us today. And I really believe, Lord, that a shift has occurred in the atmosphere and in this church. And I thank you, Lord, for the victories that you have before us. I thank you for leading us into triumph. I thank you for breakthroughs. I thank you, Father, that things have turned around. And we just thank you and praise you for speaking to us. Thank you that we know your voice. You said, my sheep know my voice. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. Because, Lord, we are listening and we will obey what you tell us to do. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen
and amen. God bless you. Thank you to all our volunteers today. Thank you to our musicians and singers, to Chester for being back here tonight. Thank you for helping us to break down, everybody. Let's go for it.
Thank you.